But fear not, fair lady. So long as I continue to wake up each morning feeling hale and whole, you can continue to wake up in the mornings. Shall we dance?
You're a bastard.
Born that way, although I like to think I've earned the title on my own merits over the years.
I don't know how to tango, Garin.
You'll be fine. You're a natural athlete and a trained martial artist. Remember your Tai Chi Chuan balance training.
I don't do Tai Chi in heels. I'll break an ankle.
Follow my lead. It's worked splendidly for you so far.
Anya struggled to keep her irritation from showing on her face. Her gown was backless, and its bodice consisted of what she tried not to think of as bunny ears from just south of her navel upward, diminishing to bitty strings tied behind her neck. It was held in place either by some kind of surface tension, like a bubble, or through magic. And she didn't believe in magic. Once Garin started flinging her around, she feared it would be mere seconds before her boobs came flying out of the dress like startled pigeons.
Trust me, Anya.
Yeah, it's not like you've tried to kill me.
Not recently. And most assuredly not here.
Anya arched over backward, with her hair almost brushing the dance floor. Only Garin Braden's strong right arm kept her from falling. She glanced across the room as the men in tails and white ties and women in elegant evening gowns threw themselves to the floor, clinging to each other. Heads turned to stare at the half-dozen black-hooded men in loose green and black camouflage pattern clothing who had burst in.
Oh, and here I am practically naked in this ridiculous dress.
Nobody move! We have commandeered this vessel in the name of the People's Revolution!
How tedious. It seems we're being hijacked.
I'm almost relieved.
Anya's heartbeat, already accelerated, spiked. But she wasn't in any danger of losing her presence of mind over a little full-auto gunfire, even though it hurt her ears in these close confines. At least it wasn't aimed at her. With deliberation, Garin straightened his back. He brought Anya upright as if she weighed nothing. He let go of her hand. The other stayed at the small of her back. She found it strangely reassuring.
You think they're trying to kidnap you?
I think not. Trust me, I'd sense their intention.
How?
Long experience. This is something else. Now, let's play along like good little lambs.
Until
it's time not to, of course.
More armed men crowded into the room. They carried what Anya recognized as Kalashnikov AKMs, some with folding stocks, some with fixed wooden stocks. She had learned they were generic weapons for terrorists, or people who wanted to pose as terrorists. Something about the men struck her false. Maybe they're just pirates, she thought. She looked to Garin. He was looking elsewhere. She saw him give his head a barely visible shake and realized he was telling one of his security men to stand down, for the moment. At least a score of men in black ski masks had bustled into the ballroom. They broke up into several groups. One group rousted the musicians off the platform. In different circumstances, it might have been funny to see the men and women in their penguin suits scurry off, clutching their instruments to their breasts. As the gunmen on the platform covered the crowd, other knots of 2, 3, and 4 began to move among the dancers, cutting them into groups of a dozen or so, like cattle herding dogs. One of the men on the dais grabbed a microphone from its stand.
You are now the people's prisoners of war. If you follow instructions, you will be treated properly. Do not try to be heroes. If you resist, you will be considered an unlawful combatant and will be killed.
Another unfortunate legal precedent we have to thank your government for.
Why are they separating us? Wouldn't it be easier for them to keep control if they kept us together?
Dividing the hostages into groups and dispersing them throughout the ship makes it harder for counter-terror teams to effect a rescue.
Anya glanced down at her feet. She really wanted to ditch the heels. But the lightweight gold pumps had straps that crisscrossed past her slim ankles halfway to her knees. She knew they looked sexy, but they also meant she had no chance of kicking off the shoes quickly. Two men thrust themselves between Anya and Garin, jabbing at them as if their heavy Russian-made assault rifles were pitchforks. Anya found herself amongst a dozen, 10 passengers and 2 stewards, the latter a man and a woman, both with painfully young faces sheened with nervous sweat. Of the group, 6 were elderly, and 4 Anya's age or a little older, which seemed a representative sampling of the passengers. The captives were being split up without regard to who was with whom.
Hey, man,
one 30-ish man with a blonde crew cut tried to stay with a female partner who was being prodded from his side. A terrorist clipped him in the face with the butt of his rifle. Anya winced. She knew the AKM was nearly 9 pounds of hardwood and stamped steel, with a steel plate capping the butt. The man had gone down as if shot, but he had no recovery time before he was being helped to his feet by a fellow passenger and a steward, whose crisp white jacket was never going to be the same with all the blood pouring on it from the man's smashed nose. A pair of terrorists herded Anya's group toward the galleys. One guard preceded them, kicking open the double doors. Anya caught a glimpse of Garin in a different group going out a side entrance. Then she was in the humid gangway, all white and stainless steel, redolent of cooking food and dishwashing steam. Stewards and chefs in their puffy white hats emerged from side doors to vanish like rabbits down holes when the terrorists pointed their rifles.
This way!
As their captors herded them down the gangway, figures from the cruise line's brochures played through Anya's mind as she tried to encompass the tactical situation. The Ocean Venture was over 1,000 feet long and 100 feet wide, more than 200 feet from keel to funnel, grossing over 125,000 tons. With 15 decks, she accommodated 2,000 passengers and over 1,000 crew. She contained gyms, two swimming pools, and even a water park. She was a horizontal, ocean-going skyscraper. Anya wondered how many men the invaders had. It would take a huge force of highly trained special warfare operators to really secure something this huge with so many people aboard. She was no professional herself, but she was still sure it would tax the resources of a full U.S. Navy SEAL team. No way did the terrorists, or pirates, have that many men aboard. No way did they have that kind of training and discipline. So they would try to secure important locations, such as the bridge and engine rooms, and they would grab some hostages. They probably preferred the richest of the passengers, who happened to be attending the fancy dress ball. She presumed they'd ordered everybody else to go to their rooms and stay there. They'd enforce the order by sending random patrols of men with guns to threaten anybody who poked their heads out. As Anya's group proceeded, the doors that weren't opened by curious staff were yanked or kicked open by the terrorist in the lead. He seemed to be looking for something.
Stop here!
He dove into the adjacent room. A pair of white-clad staff erupted out like flushed pigeons and raced away down the hall. Apparently, the men had all the hostages they felt they needed. The lead terrorist emerged again. He had long, kinky black hair flowing out the bottom of his ski mask. His eyes, visible through the holes, were dark. They showed a lot of white, like a frightened horse's. Anya didn't think that was a hopeful sign. A hyperadrenalized state, a finger in the trigger guard, an automatic weapon with the safety off and crowded quarters was a potentially explosive combo.
In here!
The terrorist gestured with his rifle into what Anya could see was a storeroom lined with shelves of fat, institutional-sized cans. She strode forward, wobbling only slightly. Sharp pains shot up her calves. She held her head high and her face impassive.